The reading this morning is from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and it's in chapter 18, and in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1114, page 1114. So this is an account of Paul when he was travelling around on one of his missionary journeys. He's just been to Athens, and now we're here at the next stage of his journey. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and, because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own hands. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Amen.
I've lived in a number of houses. My earliest years were spent in a tenement, and whilst I don't have much recollection, I can remember what it was like to share a common stair with many other individuals and families. That was a place where there had to be courtesy, respect, and a sense of shared responsibility. And for the most part, the people who lived there had just that. But from school years onwards, I lived in a modern two-story house. In our case, it was semi-detached, and so we had neighbours directly at our side as well as around us. That brought more privacy, but still an awareness of the goings-on of others. That way we knew about them, and of course they knew about us through thick and thin. Much later came marriage and a further house, this time a small but new mid-terraced property. And although it was ours, it seemed to be shared with our newfound neighbours, with only a wall thickness separating us from them, their lives from ours. Moving on, once again, took us to an old Victorian property, an upper villa, substantial in size, but with a neighbour below. Good relationships were to be had, until that neighbour sadly passed away and their flat sold, bringing with it a change of atmosphere and expectation, all leading to a challenging and difficult time. A time where nothing that we could do would be enough, where nothing that could be said would be sufficient, and where reason and rationality could no longer be depended upon. Since then, there have been other houses of various shapes and forms, semi-detached and detached, old and modern. But it's that previous house and our experience in it that I think about from time to time. And I do because I'm a Christian. Because being a Christian motivates in two ways. First, it's natural to desire that other people experience what you have. For the reality of Jesus and the transformation that can come from knowing him, all of that is something to be shared, to be celebrated and proclaimed. But second comes a response. For being a Christian brings a newfound motivation to relate well, when that might not have mattered before. It brings with it a responsibility to do and say and act all in particular ways. Ways that can reflect the nature of Jesus, such as through love, patience, kindness, and gentleness. Ways that seek the best rather than the worst. On paper, that sounds reasonable. Mentioned as part of a sermon, it sounds plausible. But in the reality of life, it can be a challenge, especially when faced with people who seem to be diametrically opposed to all that you are and all that you've come to believe. And so as I think about the houses that I've known, I think about one in particular, one place, one time, and one neighbour. I think about my response in the face of adversity, believing that I did and said all that I could. Knowing that, without being a Christian, there might have been a different outcome. And so now, when all of that comes to mind, I pray, and I pray for my neighbour. We will probably never meet again, but my genuine concern is that they will know Jesus. What's more, when all of that comes to mind, I think of the Apostle Paul in the city of Corinth. Paul stayed in more places than I have, travelled more extensively than I've done so far, faced greater challenge and endured more difficulty. And so I think of the way in which he was prepared to enter the most hostile of environments because of Jesus. How he was prepared to persevere in the face of opposition because of Jesus. How he sought to do the right and to say what was right because of Jesus. How he was prepared to respond to the culture of his time because of Jesus. How he was committed to making the Christian faith known because of Jesus. And how he was willing and able to do whatever because of Jesus. But as I think of that, I'm reminded of two other things that Paul did. In the book of Acts, we're told that Paul tried. He tried and tried again, particularly as he spoke to his own people, the Jews of that time. Yet despite that, the outcome he sought was not forthcoming. And that's a reminder that whatever happens is God's doing. That as a Christian, there's no need to try unduly. But there is every need to be who you can be because of Jesus. More than that, there's every need to become all that God would desire us to be as we welcome him. And as he takes his place in our lives. Paul eventually gave up on his fellow Jews, but God was at work despite him. So much so that the one who chose to follow Jesus was the leader of the synagogue, the one with most influence, who was most respected. And when that kind of person comes to faith, it's not long before those closest to them also find faith, enabling the life and work of God to be expressed in new ways amongst new people. And so if Paul were to speak today, he might say, let God be God. Enable him to make his home in you. Then allow him to build his house and for you to take your place within it as he determines. For there is no knowing what his word will achieve, what our witness will come to mean, and what his spirit can do, no matter the person or the situation. And that's as true today as it was when these events took place. But in the book of Acts, we're also told that Paul took a different direction. In his case, he simply went next door. More than that, he looked to find faith, and he looked to find a fresh approach to expressing that faith. And by doing that, the church came to life. Many people believed. And having believed, they made a public declaration of new life by being baptized. And so, if Paul were to speak today, he might say, look around. Look again. Don't overlook the households that surround. Believe and know and trust that God can do something new in those people, in those places. A work that's not defined by what's done on the Sabbath alone, but during every day. A work that's not ours to fulfill on our own, but by his leading and guiding. For that's a work that God can do on his own. Yet he chooses to involve his people and his church as he forms just the right kind of dwelling. One where we can feel at home and where others can too. And which is safe, offering sanctuary to those who need it. One which is secure, providing safety to all who enter. A place where hope is known and love can be found, where forgiveness is available, acceptance is the norm, and where Jesus can be glorified. That's where life can be lived to the full, where neighbours become friends, and where friendship leads to faith. Let us pray. Lord, make your home in our lives. Enable us to open the door to who we are, that Jesus can enter, making our lives a home for God to dwell, so that others might know, and that we might make a difference all the more. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.